When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is up, everybody? Thank you for joining Nick and I here today for the Wells Fargo Championship. As you can see, the two of us are doing this show live. Be sure to hop into the chat to talk about everything you want to discuss for this week's event. We will be taking you through some of our favorite fades, plays, and bets. But before we get into all that, I do want to very quickly mention Underdog Fantasy, the sponsor of this podcast. You can sign up with the code BGP to earn a 100% match bonus of up to $100. The site is buzzing over there, Nick, with drafts, higher, lower options. Their rivals feature that places players against one another for you to choose who you like better that week. All those options are available so you can play the game however you want. Once again, that code is BGP when signing up. Nick, how are you doing this week, man?
I'm doing all right. Interesting event. I don't love it. Don't hate it. I've been pretty bad on the DFS side of things in MME on no-cut events. Last week was great. Had a ton of Matt Wallace. I wish we would have done a show last week, but we were just kind of crazy busy all over the place. But I would have loved to have talked about why I was kind of on him. Did not have any Taylor Pendrith. So that was a bit of a bummer. Still made profit in MME. And single entry had a great one with a miscut of Thomas Dietrich on the number. That pissed me off. It should have been probably like a top five single entry lineup in the contest I was in. Other than that, I don't know. Like, I was very confident in Wallace last week being like a 0%, or you're really not going to find anybody 0% in these small field events, but I'm having a very hard time finding that low owned guy that I forced myself to have. And I think, honestly, man, I do better when I do like, I force myself to play someone super, super low owned. I won't play MME again. My results in no cut events MME have sucked. So I'm just going to save my bullets for the PGA and the Open Championship. But other than that, I'm doing well. I'll give you my betting card real quick. Outright, we got Hideki Matsuyama 35-1, Patrick Cantlay 22-1, Tommy Fleetwood 33-1. Probably just lighting money on fire. Like every time we bet Tommy Fleetwood, Sahith Theegala 35-1. I believe that is only at one more book, and you may need to look offshore.
Yep.
And Cam Davis at 120-1. That was on FanDuel. I believe that's now 100-1 on FanDuel, and you can get 110 potentially on Bet365. Kurt Kitayama, top 20 on BetMGM, ties paid in full, plus 225. And I did sprinkle a half unit on Theegala over Morikawa at plus 105 on Caesars. Usually a matchup play, I like to win one full unit, but to kind of like hedge out the outright market. But there was nothing that I liked too much, and I could not get the Akshay over Shane Lowry ticket that you'll talk about in a minute. But what else is on the card for you?
Three outrights for me. Some of these numbers have moved ever so slightly in both directions, I guess, which is at least the positive thing there, that it's not just all in reverse. But I took Wyndham Clark at 18-1. I originally had Ludvig Åberg. Pulls out of the tournament. Figured this was a spot where there's, you know, it's funny, Nick, because I don't seem to have my model be on Wyndham Clark all that frequently, but when it is on him, the results have been very bullish in those positions with it. So hoping that we can hit a third time with him here over the past season. I took Sahith Theegala. I got 33-1. You mentioned the 35-1. That's over on Bookmaker. You can find it there. Unless you found it somewhere else than that place.
I had my my like local offshore, whatever you want to call it. You know those, like, you know, it's called crazy wager. If you're the FBI and you're listening to this, don't shut them down. Great service, good people. Can still bet on credit, Venmo, PayPal, all that good stuff. I would give them a 10 out of 10 on the Better Business Bureau. But they do seem to text you super early on Monday morning when you owe them. But like, I gotta go. SM, like late Monday night, hey, we had a good week, what's up, you know? So maybe a 9 out of 10 on the BBB, but other than that, that number's still there, so I like that.
Well, you can get it there then too, along with Bookmaker out there
till the feds shut them down.
Yeah, And then the last play for me, Matthew Pavon, 110-1. I believe Roberto said on Links and Locks when we just recorded that, that there's a 120 or 125 maybe even out in the space somewhere. So
120 FanDuel.
Okay, so perfect. That would be that. And then for head-to-head play, Akshay Bhatia minus 120 over Shane Lowry. That's on Bovada. We're kind of all over the map with books that we're looking at this week.
Price shop, folks.
Yeah. I also took Pavon at plus 280 to come top 20. I'm a lot more aggressively backing him than you seem to be. I know you had, I don't even want to put words into your mouth. I guess more trepidation than I did would be.
I'm not confident in the play, but I do like to take note on guys that you are very confident on. So Pavon is someone that I'm relatively interested in. I was thinking my exposure would be in the DFS market, but it sounds like he's going to be relatively popular there as well. He's actually decently long off the tee, which surprised me. I know obviously to win the Farmers and succeed on that course, you got to be relatively long and obviously be a great long iron player as well. But I'm starting to warm up to it. I worry about his around the green play and scrambling, but he doesn't miss a lot of greens. So there you have it.
Yeah, the around the green play is concerning. Of the 69 players, one of the things, and I mentioned this on the Action Network podcast that we just recorded too, so definitely be sure to check that out. But I also wrote it in my Rotoballer article, but one of the things I've been doing recently is just taking all the weighted categories that I'm running, figuring out the players that are landing inside of the top half of the field for that, just kind of trying to figure out the overall safety. I'm always looking for the upside numbers with it, but just kind of figuring out the guys that I may have missed one way or another with it. Nine players landed in the top half of the field for all seven categories that I ran. Those are all your 30-1 or less favorites in this field. Pavon was the one outlier there at the very bottom. So that meant something to me. I also think that there's a reasonable enough upside within his game to where, you know, he's probably not going to win this event. And I certainly understand that, but we could have made the same argument earlier in the year that he wasn't going to win a tournament. So I do think this is a nice spot for him. That top 20 bet will be more of the area I'm going. You've talked about how he's going to be very popular this week. I think it's justifiably so, but we can get into the DFS board. We can do that. That's my card this week.
Because I don't want to say name number 8, give me the top 7 in your total. I get your model just in general for DFS.
Of just an overall rank.
Overall rank.
Xander, Rory, Wyndham, Matthew Fitzpatrick. That was the outlier for me this week. I really like Fitzpatrick.
Have you ever got him right, though? No offense. I feel like every time you talk me into him, things go south.
I mean, I feel like I kind of got him correct at the Masters until I didn't get him correct, and I didn't actually win any money on him, and I lost. That was my biggest losing bet that I had, was the two units that ended up being lost between a matchup and the placement wager. I don't know if he's ever been egregiously bad, though, in those starts that I've backed him. It's been a lot of, I guess, subpar finishes with it, but it came down to him or Thagala for me. I had more upside within my model for Thagala, which is why I went in that direction when actually looking for win equity here. Thagala would be the 5th name. Cantlay was 6th. Max Homa was 7th. And then depending on exactly how I would run it, it's a very close difference between Fleetwood, Hideki, and Siwoo.
You want to hear mine? It's fucking gross. We got Xander, number 1. Hideki, 2. Justin Thomas, 3, which, again, my numbers have always loved Justin Thomas all year long. Wyndham Clark, 4. Rory, 5. Corey Connors, 6. And then, oh, shit, he is number 7. I was going to say, so I didn't have to name him. We should have went top 6. I'm sorry, but Finau was 7.
Connors is 12th for me. Finau is 17th. What hurt Finau with his profile more than anything is just the putter. I decided to put in a pretty adequate amount of putting statistics, and he graded dead last in this field and expected putting for this course.
Yeah, I have him 44th. Well, out of 69 we got. Good number. Yeah.
I mean, if he could finish 44th.
It might be a full send in the lineup.
Yeah. I do like the $8,000 price tag that we're getting for him. I think that's a value. Don't necessarily – let's see where the ownership ends up landing with it. I feel like he's going to be popular.
Yeah, I see 15%. Let's go to the board. Let's go 9K and above. Actually, yeah, 9K and above. So We'll go upper tier. Wyndham, Xander, Rory. We're using DraftKings pricing, of course. 10-5, 11-5, 11-8. I think my favorite play would be Wyndham. I like all three. I don't know if you need all three. DraftCast or We Riot, Spencer. You heard the people. What would you do there? I think, like, I don't know. Let me tell you where my lineup's at, because that's the purpose of my show today, is not to talk about exposure to MME, because I won't doing it. Oh, great. I have two guys, Thigala and Cam Davis, in so far. So I could probably afford ownership on Xander and Rory. Is both over 20%, though. And Wyndham. They're all right there. Rory at 30, approaching 30. Do you have that?
I reduced it a little bit. So one of the books I pull from, which is usually the one that I attach the most weight to, had it at 32. I ended up taking a little bit more of one of the other books to kind of just get a middle. So I have 28% right now. So we're in the same exact territory there with that. You know, it's a 69-man field. That's ownership is going to be very pronounced in this section, specifically when Oberg ends up pulling out of the tournament.
Yeah,
that was an unfortunate thing for many reasons. He was the favorite person that I had in my model. I was probably going to go all in with Oberg and Wyndham. Like,
I still may roster him. I like him that much.
I think we go back here next year. This is going to be just the prime look ahead spot for him to win this tournament. So unfortunate that he's not here, but I don't know. I think if I was to power rank the $10,000 options, and I think you've given me some of this answer, but you can tell me exactly where you'd be at. I guess I would go. Part of me wants to still say Xander would be one, because he's the least owned of the group. And I have been so aggressive in trying to back Xander in all these spots. And doesn't it feel like the one time, because even these other weeks when I've gotten outright exposure to him, he's been like 14, 16, 18 to one most of these tournaments. The one time he gets pushed down to 10 feels like where they're going to box me out, or where I can't get the exposure that I want to get in this particular situation. I think Xander's the favorite to win this golf tournament. That's an unfortunate thing for the price tag. So I like it 11-5. I would probably say Wyndham would be my second choice. I do think the market has somewhat, I don't want to say overreacted to Rory, but I also don't think he should be 7-1 in a golf tournament. He's the most expensive player on the board because of his victory. We're really splitting hairs here between these three options, because these are the three runaway candidates that I had in win equity. And that's even over a Patrick Cantlay, who I really like in the $9,000 section, and the Gala, which we've talked about already. But I think Rory's probably my least favorite, just because you're arguably going to get the most ownership with him of anybody. You're going to have the most expensive price tag. We know that one for sure. I think he's very neutral to these other two options that are going to be cheaper and less owned, even if it's just minimally different.
I think my guy would be Xander, just overall. And like Jeff said here, scrambling, like everything about Xander's game, he gets up and down. And scrambling was something I weighed very, very high, I guess, probably like, the way that I do scrambling is kind of like an expected. Everything I do is kind of like expected strokes gained scrambling. So I kind of try to handicap, greening regulation and all that, and then up and down percentage from there. But Xander is a fantastic scrambler of the golf ball. I mean, he's fifth on the PGA Tour this year, which is probably, we talked about it on the Action Show too, probably too little of a sample size. But I know going back to years past, like he's just awesome. He's such a well-rounded golfer. His ball striking has been fantastic. Obviously, he's just like a walking top five, and at that price we probably need the win here pretty soon. He's a walking top 10. I think he's the guy, man. He, like, when I was getting on Wyndham last year, what I saw going into it, and let me pull up Wyndham's player card from last year, 2023, he was absolutely just lights out on strokes gained approach, lighting it up off the tee, especially with the distance, which we all value at Quail Hollow significantly. And then the around the green play was starting to peak for him in early on in that season, like the February, March range, and remaining pretty consistent throughout April, May. And then he goes to Wells Fargo and puts his ass off and wins the tournament by what, 4 or 5 shots. So Xander checks all of those boxes, besides obviously like the 60-1 price or whatever we had on Wyndham last year when we did hit that one. But like, maybe like the new trees that they added to Quail Hollow potentially play against Wyndham Clark. and he misses a lot of fairways. Rory McIlroy, I just don't think his game is still in elite form to pay 11-8 and 30% ownership. I'd be happy to be wrong. I love seeing Rory succeed. But Xander at 11-5 seems like a fair price, and everything about his game makes sense, and his ownership's going to be in the low 20s compared to mid-20s Wyndham Clark and reaching 30% Rory McIlroy. So, yeah, give me Xander all day. Can I put him in the lineup? It's like, then what does it do?
I'll answer Jeff's question as you're looking that up right now. So I also run it from an anticipated outlook. So it's going to be a course specific nature with that. It takes 10% of my model. That is just the overall weighted scrambling grade. There's also a much more minor input into the sheet when I look at weighted scoring, when I look at some of the strokes gain total specifications of how I ran it. So in theory, it's probably closer into that 13, 14, 15% range, just when you infuse in from all the other categories there. But the overall rank from just scrambling on its own was 10% to answer that.
Appreciate that. All right, let's go to the 9Ks. You already talked about my favorite player. I think in that range is going to be Patrick Cantlay. Of course, he's the most expensive. Number two would be Sahith Theegala. He is my one-and-done play. Like I mentioned on the action show, I think getting exposure to a I don't know. Can we even call him volatile these days? When's the last time he missed a cut? Let me pull that up.
You know what's funny about the Theegala thing, and this was even happening last year, it was always such a – everybody in the space would say Theegala is the most volatile golfer. And then you looked, and he had like 20 consecutive made cuts at one point last year, and I'm not so sure we're in these days of him being volatile anymore. The iron play is improving. That's helping with a lot of his safety, and the upside can really pop for him at some of these venues when you put him at the right track. I like him a lot this week. I'm
locking him in. Dude, he puts it like Denny McCarthy now.
Do you want to very quickly, because we talked about this a little bit off air, we talked about a little bit on the action show. Do you want to go through the top five of your expected putting on this surface? Because you have some interesting names in there that we can get to deeper when we keep moving down this board.
Yeah, one second. Let me pull that up. Number one, Sungjae Im. Number two is Sahith Theegala. Three is Max Homa, which was interesting to me. Four, Alex Noren. And then five was Matt Fitzpatrick. I like the Fitz side for that when you brought him up. Like Thiegs, like you said, the iron play is starting to speak. He's historically been a fantastic scrambler. I think the numbers, like his strokes gained around the green, are starting to go down a little bit because he's not missing many greens. So, you know, the sample size is shrinking. I think he's absolutely going to be locked in as like a core play for me. I don't care what his ownership is because he's priced at 9,100.
Yeah, I really honestly thought at one point that just with the buzz he was getting in the space early on Monday, that this might get up into the 30% range. So if I see 18% right now, you can tell me where you have him, Nick. But
yeah, 20.
So I still think that that's fine for a 69-man field here. My weighted putting was number one, Theegala, number two, Wyndham Clark, number three, Matthew Fitzpatrick, number four, Alex Noren. I also had Homa in my top five at fifth. We'll talk about long shots down the board with no ownership. You asked me what I liked about Eric Cole to show off air with it. He is sixth for me in that category. Xander Schauffele is seventh. So I think all those answers for Xander really propel him to make me believe that he's going to win this tournament. And I'm not going to have exposure in the outright market, unfortunately, just with the way that he was priced. But there's a lot of intriguing names from that list that I am going to try to figure out a way to fit into some of these builds.
Wonderful. All right. So now we have, I think it's against DraftKings rules to give my whole lineup, but whatever, we've said we don't care. Theegala, Cam Davis. I'm not married to Cam Davis. I just think that he's way too cheap, and I do like this course comp and kind of waiting for him to put it all together soon. I think his putting is kind of sketchy for me, though. Yeah, 47th. Maybe I go to Pavon. I don't know, but let's get Cam Davis out of there. We're going with Theegs and Xander for now because that's who we've covered so far in pricing. Any thoughts on Morikawa? Victor Hovland, I know you're somewhat bullish on him. The game theory side of that makes sense. I'm out. I just think he's kind of broken right now until further notice. Kawa Morikawa, don't like the course for him. I'm not a Morikawa guy anyway. at the Masters, it probably made a ton of sense. Like, look at him and Max Homa, like the same price they were at Augusta, but they were sub 10% at Augusta. We were on Homa at Augusta, did not have Morikawa. That would have helped a ton. But Tommy Fleetwood, like, yeah, it's cool. I got him to win outright, 9,500. I don't think I'm going to go back to that. It'd be nice, but I don't think I can afford it. Pretty much Cantlay and Theeks for me here in terms of DFS.
I assume my ownership totals are off here. I always trust your numbers, specifically when we do this show on a Tuesday. What do you have for Hovland?
14.
See,
I refuse to believe that, though. There's just no way.
I have 15, and I don't think that that can be correct with the form that we're seeing. When I was saying early in the week that I liked Hovland, I was anticipating this being a sub 10% number, potentially pushing much lower than that. I understand we have a limited field here, but if you look at everybody around him, there's a lot of ownership coming into play. I don't believe that he's going to be 14, 15%. If he is, I will let him beat me at that total. That's something I'm going to monitor, though, because from just a pure upside standpoint and removing some of this recent form from the mix, which clearly matters, it matters less, I think, from a leverage standpoint if there's no ownership around it, because I'll take that shot at that opportunity there.
It's got to be like 8.
I mean, at 14 or 15, I would rather play Morikawa, who seems to be the least owned name of the group. And I don't even particularly love Morikawa this week, but I would rather go that route if it's going to be, you know, 10% versus 15%.
Sure. Good question here. I look at putting. I obviously weighed it into my outputs, and I weigh it, I think, heavier than most weeks. To me, like, when I look at putting, I think it's more of a outright decision. And to give you that exact example today, I was between Thigala this morning and Ben On for one of the edges I had in that mid 30 range, and that was perfect because I had about, you know, a quarter unit left that I can spend in the outright market. And that 35-1 range kind of fits that to win, you know, 7+ units, which we're looking for on this show. I went with Thigala over Ben On because the consistency with the putter. So I feel like, to me, that was an easy decision when I'm in between both guys. I love both their ball striking, love both the distance, love both their scrambling. It's like, okay, what pushes the other guy over the edge? And Thigala by a mile with the putter. In terms of DFS, I think it helps me make more of a decision at the top of the board, but most of these guys are always pretty strong putters anyway. That's why they're high price golfers, because they're great golfers. But down low, maybe it helps me make a decision when I'm talking about, like, a, I don't know, give like pricing example. I was interested in Cam Davis, Eric Cole. Like, that's another guy that Spencer likes a lot that I'm interested in as well. Now that he talks about him, maybe Emiliano Grillo and Jake Knapp. Like, I'm probably going to need someone in the 6K range. I think that's kind of where it would go for me, as long as all their ball striking, hypothetically speaking, is close to each other. But do you have a different answer here?
I mean, the one thing I will say in general, which is very similar to what you said, and anybody who's followed my model over the last 5+ years, you'll know that I used to run this purely from a strokes gain T2 green perspective. Mm-hmm. And then I would run putting separately for a smaller weight. I think one of the things that I've changed over, I would say, the past 6 to 12 months, and I think it's probably an influence that I've gotten from you, Nick, because you do weigh putting definitely more than I do. I don't want to say more than other people. I do think you probably weigh heavier than other people also. I don't want to make such a blanket statement there when I don't know exactly how everybody's weighing.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
But at least compared to me, I know 100% you do. I've added a lot more putting into the mix with it. Like, I'll take the dispersion or the expected dispersion outputs that you have from all four of those critical metrics. I try to make it more course specific with how I run the data from it. So I'm going to look at 3-putt avoidance. I'm going to throw that into the putting mix. I'm going to look at similar, fast, lightning quick, potentially, kind of all of that round. Like, I know on Fantasy National, if you go there, it's going to just show fast and not show the lightning part of it. But these greens can get very quick. So I want to look at the overall grade there. I'm going to then put in some of my overall outlook from a putter to give me the entire answer from it, just so I'm not getting 100% from one surface. When I did that this week, you know, it was about as much as normal with a little bit more of an emphasis on 3-putt avoidance, which I guess
is love. Like, that's what, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I, like, when you said that, I was like, all right, that is a great stat to kind of pull, especially on these harder golf courses. When it's like a course like TPC Craig Ranch, I think when everybody knows the winner's going to be close to 25 under, maybe there, like, strokes gained putting matters a little bit more than three putt avoidance, because, you know, like, I need guys that are going to make a ton of putts. Otherwise, what are you going to, you're going to finish T40 or something like that. And in DFS, that's not really going to help you. In betting, obviously, that's not going to help you much. So to me, I think it's course specific. I know you're very like grass type Pacific. It's going to be Bermuda here at Quail Hollow. So you could find, you know, Fantasy National, you could use anything. I think there's like golf stats, and I don't know what data golf provides, if they actually do the surfaces for that, but so many different outlets out there. But I think for what you said that matters most to me this week is more that three putt avoidance, because we need guys to save par.
Yeah. And that's kind of the one thing that's very important for me looking is I've talked about it quite frequently with Scotty at the API, Jaeger at in Houston. I'm looking for these golfers that are going to see a positive trajectory output when it comes to that's your guys' territory. That's, I don't know. I mean, I can never, we want to talk about players that I cannot get right. I've never been correct on Ricky one way or the other on it. You're on mute, Nick.
It's probably better that way. I was talking about his ball striking in an appropriate way, but yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I've lost my train of thought. We can move forward on the show with it, but Ricky is not necessarily, my model has concerns, I guess would be the best way to say it.
That's fair. I mean, he has been a complete mixed bag all year. One finish inside the top 20 in the new year. That is rough. But
great course for him.
He's peaking a little bit. Is he gained distance over the years? No, he's losing distance, isn't he? Yeah, barely. Check the ball speeds. All right, moving on to the next batch. AK, hard pass on Harmon. We already talked about Finau. I like Ben On. I think everybody's going to like Ben On. I think he's a great golfer. I don't know if I'm going to get a ton of exposure to him this week. Alex Noren. I mean, is there a guy in better form in like the mid-upper tier range of the PGA Tour than Alex Noren? We got a third place, solo third last week. Corrales, Punta Cana, don't care about that. Valero, Texas, T14. Texas Children's Houston opened a tough event there. T11, Players Championship, T19, Cognizant, T9. Dude is gaining strokes on approach every single time out, lighting it up off the tee more on the accuracy side than the distance side. So maybe for you, it's a little downgrade in total driving, because I know you weighed that more towards distance, and scrambling and putting is just through the roof. Which sucks, because we're a year late on, or we were a year early on Alex Noren, because we took a ton of shit in the early springtime of last year, pumping up Alex Noren. We were just a year early. You know, we just needed him to get a little older, a little more wise.
Yeah, number one in my model in expected scrambling for this course.
Yeah. I don't know if I like him here, though.
I don't know if I do either. Even if I know he's a different player this go around than in years past, but some of the course history returns are highly questionable.
They're terrible.
Terrible. I mean, there's just miscut after miscut.
Yeah, and a T67 in 2017 when he was, I believe, a significantly further driver of the golf ball. So, yeah, I kind of probably out on Noren. But if you're just a form guy, then, yeah, I can never talk you off of him. Jordan Spieth, probably broken. Russell Henley, 5% Russ. I have been sketchy on Russ all year long. I feel like his ball striking is still obviously amazing because he's Russell Henley, but it's not on par with who Russell Henley is. But also, scrambling's great. Putter, when did he become a good putter? Past 2 years. It's fantastic. Love to see that. I just don't know. I like Hideki. Cameron Young, I think, also fits the course fantastically. Matt Fitzpatrick is going to go under the radar. Siwoo Kim, 8,600, some 10%. JT, 20%, couldn't be more out this time. Out. I'm not playing JT when he's popular. I'm good there. But, great course for him.
Yeah. If you could have convinced me if we had less ownership on JT. My model hates him, and it hates him every week. This is a much better setup for him. And I do think that the statistical profile is coming back in a lot of these spots. And even at the Masters,
he still can't hit a fucking fairway though.
I think he can get away with it out here. Okay. We'll see. I mean, if the I don't want to take what Roberto said of adding extra trees and all of a sudden just like massively reconstruct this model. That's every course. There's most of these things are tree lined parklands on a lot of these more difficult venues. Like that's something that you know what you're getting into from the very start. But I do think that being able to have distance to your game, even if you're not the longest player, like players like him and Thigala, they have enough distance and they are wayward off the tee, but they have the potential to pop when they put it together. So model absolutely hates Justin Thomas. I think if I was to give an answer for that, though, I am not as out as my model would be. I think this is a very nice spot for him at a course that he has found success at in the past. So I kind of tend to think, Nick, when we look at the board here, like throw ownership aside for a second, that the quality plays or the most quality plays are probably the names at the very top of this list for me. It would be the Hidekis, the Cameron Youngs, the Fitzpatricks, the Siwoo Kims. Past there.
You like Siwoo? Are we doing Siwoo?
Siwoo was inside the top 10 of my model from an overall rank. He got much worse when I ran this for upside, but I like Siwoo this week. I think for a sub 10% play, he certainly is an option to consider. The names lower than that become the dart throws for me.
Yeah.
You really are either completely ignoring the form that somebody is putting together in some iteration of or fashion of their game, or you are, I don't even want to say you're finding something statistically that necessarily would work, but it's almost the Jordan Spieth answer that I would give for Victor Hovland with it, to where you're hoping that, like, from a statistical standpoint, my model likes Jordan Spieth this week. From what we've gotten recently, he's probably broken.
Does the injury scare you at all? He looks so good on Thursday. That's the wild thing. I feel like every time I was watching, you know, I'm at work on Thursdays too, so it's not like a great sample size of me seeing every shot he hit. But I feel like every shot I did see him hit was going to like 8 feet.
The two best leverage plays that I have in this $8,000 and up section would be Siwoo number one, Jordan Spieth number two. Like that's the most playability that I have on options if I kind of just want to stomach something that I know is going to be very hit and miss with it. But it's the same thing that's happened, maybe even worse now to this extent with it, but it's the Cantlay answer that we've talked about for so long, where people got so tired of playing Patrick Cantlay that every single time he tees it up now, he's lower owned than he was 2 years ago. Spieth, unfortunately, has absolutely no form to talk about, and the floor is going to be very low for him.
He's a dog to Siwoo, for the record. Fine. Sizable.
I can live with that one.
Massive favorite, though, to big favorite to Will Zalatoris.
I kind of
favorite to Jay Day.
I think Zalatoris might be one of the worst plays on the board. So I don't know if the Zalatoris thing means anything to me there. Day.
Dog to Benon and dog, sizable dog to Tony Finau.
Yes, I mean, he's a dog to the three players that I actually have some intrigue in, and then he's a favorite against the two players that I am fading anyway.
I mean, I can play him. I'm not afraid of it. There's no cut. Is he hurt? Is there any news on his wrist being?
I don't know.
He seemed to look fine. Obviously, mindset could be. Yep. What's the course history? Pretty good, isn't it? He got cut last year. That's when he did this stupid shit out of the sand, right? When he told Greller, "This one's on me." That was here, wasn't it?
I don't remember, but it might have been.
I think it was. I don't know. That's good. All right, I could consider Jordan Spieth for a. He's going to be like 5% owned.
Yeah, that's what I have him at.
Just send it, 8K low, 8K Jordan Spieth. Okay, interested. 7K range. I mean, I'm nervous, but I'm interested. Out on Will Zalatoris, my numbers seem to still think Sanjay's got a game. I know he won the worry in Korea, so shout out Sanjay coming off a W and withdrawing last week and ruining 15% of most people's lineups. Jay Day, no thanks. Corey Connors, not bad. I
like
Corey Connors. Adam Scott seems to be in pretty good form. Yeah. Corey Connors or Jordan Spieth? Corey Connors, I see it's 10%.
I guess
that'd be way higher.
I guess that's the problem with Spieth. I would prefer Corey Connors when directly comparing. So, I mean, take that for what it's worth.
Okay. Anybody else you love in this range? Like, we got Akshay. I respect him. My numbers seem to like him a lot. Sam Burns seemed interesting when I saw like 3-4% ownership. I always like Harris English on tough courses. I worry about his ball striking being up to par with others in this price range. Like, it's just always such a mixed bag, but a guy that's going to scramble and get it up and down around the green is going to be Harris English.
There are so many players here in that, you know, 10% sort of ownership, maybe a little bit higher than that, that I think are just some of the worst values on the board when you compare their price and the ownership that we're getting. That's going to be the options. Like Will Zalatoris, I'm going to be out on Jason Day. I can't get there with Sungjae. I certainly understand if he could turn back the clock a little bit. I guess, you know, you do get like the one part of his game where he has found success would be the long iron play still. A lot of shots are going to come from 200 plus. So that's something to
at same least with Jordy. Jordy grades yeah. really well for me there. Fuck it. We're putting Jordy in. Sorry for cursing everybody, but that's what we do. I'm going to put Jordy in.
I'm out on Taylor Pendrith. That's been a big movement. You know, you look at the betting price in comparison to everybody else in this range. Harris English is 60, Akshay's 50. Obviously, you can shop around, find different. Pendrith opened at 110. Like, he shouldn't be in this range. This is a victory that propelled him up here. I understand there's no ownership. I would rather play the name that was put into the chat from, where is it? Jack. I like Bezaden.
Steve is? A little bit.
I worry about the lack of distance that he brings. I don't know what his actual upside is, but at
that's what I worry about the upside or lack thereof always.
At sub 5%, though, so if we're looking at this entire tournament of who are the best leverage spots in this field, it's not even close. Bezaden Hout was the best option on the board in his own territory. That would be followed by names like Todd, Cole, Hoagie, Siwoo, Pavon, even though there's a lot of ownership around him still. Spieth is lower, but right in that range too. But Bezaden Hout was a top 25 player for me inside my model. Like, I think what's happening right now in this position is you're getting a golfer, at least according to my math here, and you're getting a lot of results that are also mimicking this, but you know, a fringe top 25 player that's priced as a borderline top 25 guy who's being owned as the 52nd player out in my model out of 69 options here.
Fuck it. Seabez, we're going with Jack. Appreciate that. And Spencer. The only reason, because last time you said this whole leverage thing was Tom Kim, and I believe you also said Kyle Morikawa at Augusta.
Yeah.
And both of them, I mean, Tom Kim had the Sunday of a lifetime. And I did not have either of those guys, and that would have been very fantastic to have. All right, Seabez, 7,600. It's like he's overpriced.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a perfect GPP play. Every model's going to hate him, I think, projection-wise. Looking at three different sites' projections, they're shit for Christian Bezaden Hout.
Yeah, I don't know from an overall rank how he got the 21st for me. Like, that's an impressive return.
Yeah, and you're not pumping him. Hasn't played here. Does that worry you?
No. It's a sticky course history place, but I also don't think it's a venue that without playing it, you can't still find success.
Seabez. All right. Spieth's out. Seabez is in. We got more room to work with now. All right. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Nice. Sorry, my headphones fucking died again. Driving accuracy, not a concern. I don't know. To me, I'd rather, like Spencer said, I'd rather go more towards distance. What do we got here? Next price range. Anybody else in the 7K range want to talk about?
I'll rapid fire off some names I like, I guess. Like, I think Hoagie. I think Horschel. I think Shank. That's probably...
Horschel, come on.
I think Horschel's a... Where do you have Horschel in your model?
Fucking low. Let me see. No, not terrible. 37th.
I'm a little bit higher than you. I have him 30th. I have him better for safety, though. He's inside the top 30 for me in safety. The the upside numbers push him in the other direction. But I do think it's a very similar spot, at least in some sense of that, to what we're getting here with Bezuidenhout. A price tag that nobody seems to want to pay for a golfer that does have the wrong outlook in my model when you're comparing upside versus safety, but it's not so much so that it's removing them from my board with it. And if they're going to be sub 5% options, not expecting them to win the golf tournament, but I think they can top 12, 15, 18 this tournament.
I think top 20 would be just fine.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what I got remaining. 7,200 with Figala, Shoffley, Fez. All right. So I probably need to pick somebody out of the 8K or 7K range. Let's see. Anybody in 6K that you love? I like Kitayama in the betting market. I think if he's pushing 10% in DFS, I'm not going to trust the lack of putter there. I want to always play Austin Eckroat. I just think he's awesome at golf. Also, same thing with Jake Knapp, but I do worry about super fast conditions for him. Do you have any thoughts on Jake Knapp?
I liked him. One of those boomer bust commodities inside my sheet.
Yeah.
I think for me,
do we hate Cam Davis?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think he's one of the better values down beneath. He's inside the top 35 for me, in both an overall and an upside outlook.
I feel like I should put him back in.
Like Cam Davis is legitimately, or I guess Eric Cole, because they're the same price. They're legitimately the last two options in my model that are inside of the top 50 for me. Like when okay. Any lower than that is just, I found most of these options to be unplayable. So the lowest I am going is into that 6,400 range, but I like Davis. I like Cole. I like Pavon. I like Knapp. Talked about that. I like Todd a little bit. There's a lot of intrigue in this section. And I guess for me, the other name I'll just throw out there, and I'm sure your response to this, and you're probably not even incorrect, would be that there's too much ownership. I kind of like Taylor Moore at 6,700.
I think he's just really good. Yeah, I think sometimes he should be more expensive than Billy Horschel, my opinion.
No, I agree, and that's what makes it difficult when you actually start comparing players in some of these spots where you can actually get a discount on a name like Taylor Moore.
I think I'm going to ride Pavon and Cam Davis. I think you're talking me into Pavon.
Price-wise on DraftKings, when I'm looking at the most mispriced players, the three most mispriced players for me were Pavon, Cameron Davis, Taylor Moore. I mean, it's all the names we just mentioned right there. Those were all options that should have been in the 7,000s.
This leaves me Hideki, Cam Young, or Fitzpatrick. Roll Fitzpatrick.
My model would say Fitzpatrick.
I love Hideki, but I already have enough exposure on him, and I do think ownership's going to be a little heavy. I don't think people ever are excited to play Matt Fitzpatrick. So kind of want to make me go there. And he's going to, it's a long course. 3-putt avoidance. I trust him more than most in that aspect. Let's go Fitz.
Low scoring tournaments when scores are like in single digits, we'll say it that way. So there's not confusion with it. That's where Matthew Fitzpatrick always pops. So I think it's very close between him, Hideki and Young. They are all within, like if I'm running this from a head-to-head standpoint, they're all between minus 122 one way or another, with Fitzpatrick being the favorite. That's the caveat to this whole thing.
Nice. All right. Dumpster diving. You mentioned Cole. I don't think you really like anybody less than 6,400. If you had to choose one, course history would probably say Seamus Power. I'm a hard pass on Matt Kuchar. I don't know why he's in the field. Lee Hodges, I don't mind. Gary Woodland, I wish could get his game back because I feel like this would be a great course for him, but he's a terrible scrambler and a terrible putter, so it is what it is. Lee Hodges, anybody like that? Hard passing Grayson Murray. Ben Coles is a great golfer, but I don't think I could take 260 off the tee at this course. Nick Dunlop, anything there?
If you force me to give you a name that's less than that, just for the sake of the show here, and this is not necessarily somebody that I would say I like.
P-Rod.
It's kind of in that similar mentality to it in some ways with it. I kind of like Kevin Tway.
Ooh. I didn't see that coming. All right, let's check out Kevin Tway.
Some of the long iron numbers for him look very good inside of my model recently. The total driving because of the distance that I've taken into account.
Good short game.
Good short game. And
good form.
For me, so one of the ways I ran my total driving, he's eighth for me in this field in driving distance. He's dead last in driving accuracy. That's going to be the concern. He's 16th, though, on off the tee in general compared to this field when you have hard-to-hit fairways. So to me, that kind of just goes right into that mentality that I keep talking about of I want golfers that are long off the tee that are willing to be aggressive. There's a 17-yard increase in projected driving distance compared to your standard stop on tour. I think Toy's distance, I actually picked him up in our my fantasy.
I saw that. I did
see so it. Bad at this point. I think Kevin Tway might be the best player I have in that lineup, and that's not even an exaggeration.
Well, at least his game's in good form. All right. Here's my lineup. If anybody wants to send a head-to-head, keep it reasonable. Let's not be crazy here. Prasant, I know we did that earlier. I always appreciate that. Good times. My lineup is going to be Schauffele, Thiegs, Fitz, Fez, Pavone, and Cam Davis. So it's absolutely gross. It's probably a GPP line, but I'll play it head to head with the fans or the listeners out there. I had one more thing. I don't remember what it was. I do have to start Gary Woodland this week, I think. No, I don't. Okay. I got Cantlay. I like that. Sanjay, I'm going
to
start.
That's Oberg. That is exactly what's happened in my fantasy season. And I don't know if you have it up in front of you, what my lineup is. It's Kevin Tway, Webb Simpson, Lee Hodges, I don't know, Brendan Todd, and whoever I'm missing there.
I got one starting spot out of Kitayama. I think Shank's going to stay. Kitayama or Ekrot. I think I'm going to stay with Kitayama. But I already have him top 20, so it's like if that goes bad, I just love Austin Ekrot.
I like Ekrot too. I think it's close. Play. I would probably say Kitayama.
All right.
It's close. I'm not trying to sway you one way or another. I know we've learned that when we give each other picks that it's usually for the benefit though of the other person.
Yeah, I'm with you, Persona. I think Kevin Tway scares the shit out of me. Nick Taylor's form though. Yeah.
When you look at these,
yeah, I don't know. He was T12 at Arnold Palmer, but so who else was? Brendan Todd was lights out at Arnold Palmer, wasn't he? Yeah, T6. Gross.
If you look at the $6,300 golfers and less, there's 15. So Nick Taylor would be the second best option, according to my model. It would be first would be Tway. Second would be Taylor. Third would
be Webb.
Would be Griot.
That's a blessing. Okay, I like Griot. Yes, no love for Svensson, Mr. Longarm himself. I feel like he's a guy that people are just going to overlook, but is he broken?
I kind of tend to think so. My numbers massively disliked him. The only player that was worse in this field in projection was Lee Hodges.
Jeez. Yeah, his putting is shit. All right, two must-haves. Morikawa and Noren. I think Morikawa is going to be very different. I respect that play. Noren. I also don't think the public will still buy in because he's Alex Noren, so I don't mind that play. And again, if you're talking about just consistent form and to be 8,200 and to be in that form, yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. Maybe, I mean, Adam Scott's in decent form at 7,700. I would say maybe that's a better value, but other than that, even Steven Yeager, I always love him. That'd be like my in-form price discrepancy, Steven Yeager. I feel like he should be upper sevens. Adam Scott, and yeah, definitely Alex Noren. I think if DraftKings made him the same price as Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas right now, I think the way he's playing golf could warrant that.
There's a head-to-head matchup with Noren against Spieth that I saw earlier. I think it was minus 110 both ways.
Bovada right now has Noren minus 120. Nope, that's over Sam Burns. Let me see. BetMGM minus 111. Thanks for adding that extra penny on there, guys. minus 111 both sides. Way to go, BetMGM.
That feels about right. And I guess his safety would be the thing I like about Jeff's two plays there. Morikawa is going to be the lowest owned of any of the $9,000 and up options, unless it's Hovland. And I wouldn't rule that out at this point. Maybe he's catching enough steam that Hovland does end up getting into that 10 to 12% range, but I don't foresee this being a 15% total. Look at Noren. There's sub 10% marks for him right now. He's kind of right in the middle of a lot of those names. You're definitely going to get unique and different by going aggressive with those two.
I do like Morikawa. I think that's a play that I'm only building one lineup though this week, so I don't know if I could afford them. Love it though. Appreciate everybody's input. This is a fun chat. Other than that, check out the Action Network show if you're interested in more like the betting angle of things. But Spencer, any other work this week you want to put out into the ether?
You can always check out everything that I do over at Rotoballer with my model there. There will be, for everybody asking, a draft cast tonight. So that's going to start in the next 30 minutes. So you can hop over there to watch that show. I guess before we leave, Nick, give me who's going to win this golf tournament.
Xander Schauffele. If you're going to go with Xander, I think that he finally gets it done.
He's the better value, obviously. I mean, we both
have. Is that how you say his name, Sahith, or is it Sahith?
It is.
I butcher a lot of these names.
Sahith.
Sahith. I was way off. So none of the above.
I only got that because I used to do a show at Golf WRX with somebody that was good friends with him. And she told me a story live on air that when they went out to either breakfast, lunch, or dinner, one of the three there, they were all saying whatever the name was wrong with it. And they've been doing this for 5+ years with him. And at some point, I guess, you know, all of a sudden he had PGA Tour money that was coming in and he said, "Hey, that's not how you pronounce my name." And so it got corrected that way with all the friends.
All right, well, he's not winning. He shouldn't wait 5 years to sit and not correct like your friends butchering your name. So I will go back to Xander.
I will go with Xander too. This feels like the unfortunate position where Xander gets across the finish line and nobody's on him.
We have no tickets. Yep. All right. Appreciate everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Good luck this week. Hit us up on Twitter if you need anything, or if you want to do a head-to-head, just DM me at SixPicks or whatever, and we'll get after it. My lineup is disgusting, and I hope you guys kick my ass.
Code BGP for underdog.
There you go. I'll get a draft maybe going tomorrow night since we did our show a day early. So that'll be fun. Peace out, guys. Thank you for tuning in.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.